I'll ask you tonight, if you will, to open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2. We are going to begin reading in part of the message that the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and beginning in verse 23. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I would like this evening to continue with the subject of the resurrection. We know that this is the day that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is especially spoken of, but I want to speak to us tonight more about the resurrection of the bodies of all of those who die in the Lord. You see, Peter quotes from the words of David in Psalm 16, but he makes it clear, Peter does, he makes it clear that the words, though written by David, were the words of Christ. David, as a prophet, he tells us, notice in verse 31, David, as a prophet, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. But I want to call our attention especially to his words. These two were the words of Christ, though spoken by David in prophecy. In verse 26, he said, moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. These were the words of Christ. His body, that is, his flesh, rested in hope. You remember in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. These were his words. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope. His flesh, his body rested in hope, knowing as he did that God had promised him that he would not leave him in this condition which exists at death. What is death? Well, we know there's a spiritual death. When God spoke to Adam and told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of that tree, Adam, you're going to die. We know he lived for several hundreds of years on in the body, but that very day, my friends, he died spiritually. What is death? It's a separation. And his spirit was then separated from God. He died spiritually that day. And that's the death that you and I, all of us, all men partake of. And so we come into this world, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins. But then also there's a physical death. And that's what our Lord experienced there on the cross. And what is physical death? It too is separation. Spiritual death is a separation between the soul of man and God, but physical death is a separation of the soul, that is the spirit of man, from his body. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ experienced that day on the cross. Remember, he told the thief who looked to him in faith and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. His body was laid in the tomb. His body was laid in the tomb, but it was laid in the tomb, he having this promise from the Father, that he would not leave his soul in hell. That doesn't mean that Christ went into hell, the hell that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in Luke chapter 16, where the rich man went and was in torments. No, that word hell there sometimes is translated the grave, and it is that state. That state when the soul and the body are no longer in union, when physical death occurs, there's a separation of the soul and the body, and it is called hell in this place, Hades, or the grave. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew he had God's promise that he would not leave him in that state, but that he would raise him up on the third day. And we know that's exactly what took place. On the third day, he came out of that tomb. God fulfilled his promise. And Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he also tells us that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was also the fulfillment of God's promise to his Son. In that everlasting covenant of grace, that if he would be made flesh and come into this world and work out man's salvation and, yes, die in the place of his people, he would be raised again and the Father would pour out his Spirit upon his church. There would be an effusion of the Holy Spirit in this dispensation like had never been before. The Holy Spirit's been here from the beginning. The beginning is, of course, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the Holy Spirit was there who moved upon the face of the waters. And no one, and I like to mention this because people can be deceived so easily, this matter of the Holy Spirit, and teach that you have to receive the Holy Spirit after you've been saved. No, if you've been saved, you've received the Holy Spirit. No one's ever been saved apart from the work of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, salvation is of the Lord. And when we think of the Lord, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We praise the triune God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God the Father chose his people in eternity God the Son was made flesh and redeemed His people. And yes, God the Holy Spirit quickens and brings His people to life, sanctifies His people. Peter says that he and the other disciples there, we are witnesses that God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ. His body, now listen, His body, which died that day on the cross when He dismissed His spirit. Remember, He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He dismissed His spirit. When everything was finished, which was written concerning Him, He cried out, it is finished. And He died. He gave up the ghost. The soul was separated. The spirit separated from His body. His body was laid in the tomb. Now, when He appeared, when He first appeared to His disciples, you read about this in the Gospel of Luke. Luke tells us when the Lord Jesus Christ first appeared, the risen Christ first appeared to His disciples. They were gathered there in a room with the doors locked. And when He appeared, Luke tells us that His disciples, they were terrified. Terrified. And why were they terrified? They were terrified because they at first thought they saw a spirit. They were terrified. They saw Him, but they thought they saw a spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed them His body that had been laid in the grave was the same body that He now appeared unto them in. He told them, behold my hands. He said they could look at His hands and they could see that body that was marked, nailed on the tree, that those marks, the nail marks, were in His body. Behold my hands. Same body came out of the grave that was laid in the grave. It's a resurrection. A resurrection. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. Handle me and see. Now listen, for a spirit, now that's why they were terrified. They thought they had seen a spirit, but our Lord tells them, a spirit. In other words, if I were just a spirit, now a ghost coming unto you, a spirit, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. You see that I have flesh and I have bones, and it's the same body that was laid in the tomb. Glorified body, yes, but the same body. What I want to do tonight is to take the words which applied specifically to Christ. My flesh shall rest in hope. And show, if I may, show how they apply to every child of God who has died or shall die before the Lord returns again. Now, of course, we recognize, of course, the words, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Those words apply exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ. His body lay in that tomb, but it did not see corruption. Now, just as soon as our body, when we die physically, our body begins the work of corruption or putrefaction. We know that. Those words apply only to Christ. The bodies of God's people at death immediately began to suffer corruption. But even still, and this is a point I want to make, even still, we know this is true of us. We may rest in hope. In hope of what? In hope of the resurrection of the just. We may rest in hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42, the Apostle Paul, that wonderful, great chapter on the resurrection, but in verse 42 he said, so also in the resurrection of the dead. Now, it, and I want you to pay attention to that word it. In other words, this body, it is sown in corruption. But it, the same body, is raised in incorruption. The body that is sown is the body that is raised. Though it has returned to the dust, broken down into a billion particles, I don't know how many, and ever so small, and separated as far as the wind may blow some of the dust of the bodies of God's children. I think of William Tyndale. Remember, he had to flee England, translating the scriptures from Greek into English, the New Testament. He had to flee. He went to the continent of Europe, and I believe he was in a town, Antwerp, I believe, and he died there. They had sent people to kill him, but I think he died before they could kill him. So they buried him there. But sometime later, he was hated so much by the Roman church, by the officials of the Roman church. He was hated so much that they dug up his bones and burned them and took the dust and threw it in the River Rhine, I believe it was, and they were carried away. You say, well, certainly, preacher, you're not saying that his body is going to be raised. Yes, I am. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. You say, well, that's impossible. With man, absolutely. But not God. Remember, one of the attributes of God is his omniscience. He knows everything. And right now, God knows where every one of those particles which made up the body of that man are in this world. He knows it. And not only his omniscience, but his omnipotence, his all power. We serve a powerful God, a living God, yes, and a powerful God. Notice in our text here, Peter, where I finished reading, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Many of you have heard me comment on the fact that sometimes people will say, make Christ your Lord. And I like to always remind us, you can't do that. You can't do that, my friends. Why? Because God has already made him both Lord and Christ, that he is God. And yes, when he comes again, at the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and he calls, the scripture says in John chapter 5, when he calls, when he speaks, the bodies of his people, those who have died in the Lord, are going to come out of the tombs. Let me ask you this before I move on. When you pray, child of God, when you pray to your Father which is in heaven. That's the way the Lord taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven. But do you remind yourself of who your Father is? Now think of this verse in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where the Apostle Paul made this comment about our Father, the one to whom we pray. He said, now unto him that is God, unto him that is able to do, not to try to do, but unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, now listen, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Does that just blow your mind that the God, our God, our Father, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I can ask a whole lot. I know you can, but you can't ask more than what he's able to give. Well, I can think some big things. Sure you can. But my friends, you cannot think more than God is able to do. You just can't do it. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Yes. Every child of God facing death may also say, my flesh shall rest in hope. Now remember, when I say that, every child of God facing death may also say, my flesh, my body shall rest in hope. Remember, I'm talking about the body. I'm talking about the bodies of believers. As for their souls, at death, they are immediately in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul said it like this, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I was given a message I brought several years ago now at a funeral service of a brother who had passed on. And I tried to emphasize that to depart. And what is it that we depart from? What is it that a believer departs from? Well, we depart from our families. We depart from our place where we've lived. I know all of that. But we depart, my friends, from that old sinful nature. You see, when God saves a sinner, there's a new man that's created in righteousness and true holiness. But that old nature is still with us. And it's going to be with us until we depart. To depart and to be with Christ, we will leave that old nature, that old sinful nature. And there's always that tension, isn't there, in every believer, between the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, that would never sin, and that old man who would only sin. There's always that tension. But at death, we'll depart and be with Christ. There's many blessings that the believer receives even at death. Immediately, we're in the presence of God. And immediately, we're looking into the face of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. What greater blessing could we ask? But our bodies, our souls immediately, souls of believers, I'm speaking of God's children now, those who know Christ, those who are accepted in the beloved, immediately to depart means that we go to be with Christ, which is far better. You know, Job, the Old Testament patriarch Job, he knew this. He knew this. Someone asked me one time this question. They said, how much do you think the Old Testament believers, how much do you think they knew? And of course, there's no way that I could answer that. But I know this, if they were believers, they knew Christ. They knew Christ. They looked to him. He was only promised. He was only promised as far as they were concerned, but by faith they looked to him. When they offered a sacrifice, a man who truly believed, who was a believer, when he offered a sacrifice according to the law of Moses, when he laid his hands upon the head of that animal that would be sacrificed as a substitute, he was looking by faith to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come, who was promised to come. I'm not sure how much they knew, but I know this about Job. He knew what I'm talking about tonight because this is what he said. You can see this in Job chapter 19. The hymn was sung this morning, I know that my Redeemer liveth. This is what Job said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin, worms destroy this body. That's that corruption that sets in when a person dies. The soul of the believer immediately goes to be with the Lord. But what I'm saying, the body can rest in hope of a better resurrection, in hope of the resurrection of the just. Even though Job said worms are going to destroy, they're going to feed upon this body. And it's going to go back to the dust. God created the body of man from the dust of the ground, didn't he? And it's going to return back to the dust. But even so, Job said, I know that's going to happen, but yet in my flesh, in other words, this same body, my flesh, I shall see God. I shall see God, my Savior. You know, Job speaks of his Redeemer that he should see. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of his people, and he redeemed us with his precious blood. To the believers at Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Now listen, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Christ redeemed his people. He redeemed his people, their bodies as well as their souls. If these bodies which Christ bought should not be raised from the dead, then he would lose part of his purchase. Plus, he could not perfectly see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Let me read a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him, that is of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And many believe this redemption here is the redemption of the body. Yes, the raising of the body. I want you to look with me now. I read that verse, but if you will, turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 39 and 40. Two very familiar scriptures. John chapter 6 and verse 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will. Let me begin in verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. But, now notice it, should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The all that God gave to Christ, they were all put into his hands, made his care, his charge. They were given to him as his portion to be kept, preserved, and saved by him, body and soul. If the bodies of those given to Christ should not be raised, then Christ would fail to discharge this trust. Yes, at death, every child of God may say, my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? Because Jesus Christ came down to do the Father's will. And what is it, the Father's will? It is that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him might have everlasting life, and I shall raise him up. Now, the Bible never speaks of raising souls up at the last day. It's raising him, that is the body, up at the last day. This is a great mystery. One other verse I'd call our attention to is 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul, let me just read this. Know you not, now listen, know you not that your bodies, not just your soul, your bodies are members of Christ. Your bodies are members of Christ. When God chose his people, he chose them in Christ and gave them to him. And it was their whole persons, their body and soul. Both are redeemed by him, and both are in union with him. We are members of his body. Now, members of his flesh and of his bones, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5. Can you imagine that? We are members of his body. Now, we're not talking about his physical body. We're talking about his mystical body. That is, the church, all of God's elect. We are all members of Christ. Even our bodies are members of Christ, the mystical Christ. No wonder Paul said, this is a great mystery. It is a great mystery, isn't it? And you know, Paul, when he said this is a great mystery, what he means by mystery, this could never be known if God had not revealed it unto us. This is a great mystery. But yes, even our bodies are members of Christ, of Christ's mystical, that is, the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of Christ being the head, and we are all members of his body. My flesh shall rest in hope. Well, let me close thinking about this. What kind of body shall believers have in the resurrection? The apostle tells us that Christ will change our vile body. That he calls this body right now, this vile body. One translation, I believe, has it, this body of our humiliation. He shall change this vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, what does that mean? Fashioned like unto his glorious body. It means that the believer's resurrected body shall first of all be incorruptible. This body in which we live, this corruption, it's going to corrupt. It is. But the body with which we will have in the resurrection is a body that is incorruptible. It is like his glorious body. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, but it is an incorruptible body. And it is an immortal body. This body is mortal. It's going to die. It's going to die. And not only is it incorruptible and immortal, but it is powerful. This spiritual body is a powerful body. And yes, thank God, it is a glorious body. A glorious body. Now, I planted some seeds a couple of weeks ago. They came in a small package, and when I opened them up, I looked inside that package, and those seeds were different colors. They were kind of dry. Well, they were dry. Not kind of. They were dry. And they were kind of a brownish, dark color and white. And, you know, I just put them in the ground. And a couple of weeks later, that seed came up. But it's the same body, in the sense that they were flowers, a particular kind of flower that the seeds were. And now it's changed. It had to fall into the ground and die, as the apostle tells us. But the body that came up, it's the same as far as its nature is concerned, but it's in a different form. Now it's green, and it's lovely. And God willing, in a few weeks, there'll be some beautiful flowers on those plants. That's the way it is, my friends, with this body. We may rest assured, our bodies may rest in hope. Yes, they will turn back to the dust. But when Christ comes again, and when he calls us out of our graves, my friends, we will have a glorious body like unto his, a body that is immortal, incorruptible, powerful, and glorious. And I look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He may come before you and I, before we die physically. But we know that when he comes, all of those who know Christ, their bodies shall be raised. And those who are alive, when he comes again, in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, shall be changed. And we all together shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a glorious, glorious day that's going to be when Christ comes again and all of his people, saved by the blood of the crucified one, shall be with him and be with him forever and ever. Now Kevin is going to sing. I asked Kevin to sing this hymn again. He sang this hymn for us last Sunday evening, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. And I had heard several comments from some of you about the hymn, and so appropriate as we're not able to meet as we normally do. But this is our prayer for all of us. God be with you till we meet again. That's number 82, hymn number 82, and I hope you'll sing along with Kevin.